Doctrine of God. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. As Christians, Titus chapter 2, verse 10, that's what we're doing. We're adorning the doctrine of God, or your Bible may say the teaching of God. I want to talk about this analogy this morning, and I want us to explore its meaning. And most importantly, I want to ask this question: are you adorning the doctrine of God in your life? Now, this word adorn is used a couple of ways in our Bibles. Cosmeo is the verb form of the Greek word. It means to arrange, to put in order. English, the English word is cosmetic. And it's used in the Bible about arranging furnishings for a room or trimming lamps or adorning tombs and buildings and adorning one's person. And so think about perhaps a young lady and she adorns herself. She fixes her hair. She puts on some jewelry. She puts on nice clothes. This is adorning. Think about your house and you'll fix up a room and you'll organize it a certain way and you'll put in certain furnishings and perhaps blinds and curtains and things like this. You're adorning that room. Men, maybe think about working outside and you cut the grass and you trim it and you trim the shrubs and you blow off the walkway after you're done to get that grass off of there. You're adorning your yard, landscape of your yard. It's also used as cosmos. And we know what the cosmos is, the universe, the cosmos. And this is a harmonious arrangement or order, an adornment, a decoration. And it came to denote the world or the universe as it has been divinely arranged. Look with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 for just a second. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. And I want us to notice how this word is used in this verse, and we'll talk about this verse a little more later in the lesson. 1 Peter 3, 3. Here is Peter speaking in regards to the women. He says, "Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but rather," verse 4, "to be the hidden person of the heart." And so this is adornment. And we adorn many things. I want to use the illustration here of the Arlington Cemetery because I was so impressed with that years ago when we went. You know, the cemetery is arranged and kept in perfect order. You know, there's not a bit of trash on the grounds anywhere. You're not allowed to have gum because there's not allowed to be any gum on the grounds at all. All of the tombstones are kept nicely and in order. And the tombstones are all nicely in order. And I suppose there's been a survey crew out there surveying just so everything is exactly as it ought to be with the gravestones. Harmonious order. This is what it means to adorn something in our life. But also as we continue with this example of adorning, I want us to understand that also it means metaphorically to embellish with honor. Now you think about it. Men, you think about your yards at home. Now if you don't do anything with your yard and you've got weeds coming up and the grass is way too high and you can't even walk to the front door and trash is everywhere, have you embellished your home with honor? No, when others pass by, they look upon it with disdain. Think about it, young ladies. You know, if you don't brush your hair for weeks on end, you don't take a bath and so you smell, and you don't wash your clothes so they smell. Have you given honor to your body? Do others look upon you and say, you know, that is really some sort of person there, some honorable person? And I'm not putting down those who can't do those things. But you see, when we adorn ourselves, we are giving honor to that which is adorned. And think about Arlington Cemetery, and think about those soldiers there. They spend hours during the day just to make sure that their boots are as bright as they could be, that their uniform is pressed and is in order, and they go through rigorous inspections to make sure that every single thing is absolutely perfect. And they practice tirelessly, pacing from one side of the Tomb of the Unknowns and then sharply turning and pacing to the other side. Tirelessly practicing this. Why? To bring honor to this very from a human standpoint, very sacred place. And when you go there, you have reverence and awe for those being honored. And now think about if it wasn't as it is. If the grass was growing up and people were being disrespectful, and there was chaos and disorder, there would not be the respect there that there ought to be. So to adorn means to embellish with honor. And now using this analogy that the Apostle Paul uses, to adorn the doctrine or teaching of God, just as we adorn our physical bodies, our appearance, our homes, our yards, and things like this, I want to ask the question, how do we adorn the teaching of God? You see, we know how to adorn our physical bodies. We know how to adorn our houses. We know how to adorn our yards. We know how to adorn Arlington Cemetery. How do we adorn the doctrine of God? Turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. And I'm going to talk somewhat throughout this lesson about honor. Romans chapter 1 verse 21. And this word honor appears here. Here Paul is talking about those who reject God. And he says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. To honor the doctrine of God, to adorn the doctrine of God, we must honor God and honor his teaching, his word in which that teaching appears. Now, to honor God means that we must respect him, that we must treat him as reverent, and those things of God as reverent. So many times today in the world, the word of God is treated like garbage, that it's disrespected, that it's disrespected in the thoughts and the minds of people, and it's disrespected in how they treat this book which contains the words. So many times today, God's church is disrespected. People could not get away with the things they do sometimes in the Lord's church at Arlington Cemetery because it's not tolerated. Acting in such a disrespectful way who gave their lives for our country is not tolerated in some of the ways people act in the Lord's church. We must honor God just as we honor our bodies and we adorn our bodies and our homes and our yards. We must honor God. And if we do that, we will adorn his teaching, his doctrine. Remember, children, you are to honor your parents. And how do you do that? Do you honor them by being disrespectful? Do you honor them in acting ways which are unbecoming? Do you honor them by going out in public and acting in some foolhardy way that is disrespectful, that is not the way that you were brought up? Is that the way you honor your parents? Do you honor your parents by speaking to them as if they're lower than your friends? Of course not. You see, we know how to honor our parents. And we take those same principles. That's why Paul has used this illustration. We take those same principles, we apply that to God, to his teaching, and we adorn the doctrine of God. Husbands, we are to honor our wives. Now, how do we do that? Do we do that by being disrespectful? Do we do that by treating her badly? No. Now, husbands, get this. When we honor our wives, we adorn our wives. Children, get this. When you honor your parents, you adorn them. Now, what does this mean? We'll get to that in just a little bit further in the lesson. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 John chapter 1, verse 9. 2 John chapter 1, verse 9. A passage that we all are very familiar with, but I wanted to point But I wanted to point it out once again this morning. How do we adorn the doctrine of God, the teaching of God? We'll look at 2 John 1:9. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching. I want us to understand, to adorn the teaching, the doctrine of God, we must abide in the teaching, the doctrine of God. We must do what it says. And in so doing, we honor it. And I want you to notice the beginning of this verse, he who goes too far. In other words, if we take the teaching of God and we go beyond what it says, that God has said we are to do these things in our lives, but we reject that and we go and we do something else. We are not abiding in the teaching of God, the teaching of Christ, and we are not adorning it. To adorn the teaching of God is to abide by it. Now let me go on and bring this back to the Arlington Cemetery illustration. To honor those who are being represented in the cemetery, you must abide by the rules. You cannot go to Arlington Cemetery and have gum in your mouth that you're not supposed to have anyway and throw it on the walk for someone else to step on, or perhaps soldiers to step on when carrying a casket. That is not honoring. You're breaking the rules. So the same thing is true for us. To honor God and His teaching, we must live by the rules, the teaching of the Word of God. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Now here, Paul uses a similar analogy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. How do we adorn the doctrine of God? We honor God. We abide in its teaching. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now, Paul, talking of slaves, as he was doing in Titus chapter 2, verse 10, all who are under the yoke of slavery are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. In other words, we must behave properly. We must behave properly to bring honor to God and to adorn His doctrine. And he says we must behave in such a way so that the doctrine of God is not spoken against. Now, when we go out into the world, we profess to be Christians. Now, there are some things that people in the world just generally know about Christians. Christians don't drink. Christians don't get drunk. Christians don't use drugs. Christians don't engage themselves in sexual promiscuity. They're not involved in fornication and things such as this. Now, when we go into the world and we say, well, I'm a Christian, and then if we do those things, what do the people in the world do? What do? They blaspheme. They say, look at this person over here. He says he's a Christian, but what good has God done him? What good has the law of God, the doctrine of God done him? It's not done him a bit of good. And therefore, they blaspheme against God. Adorning the teaching, the doctrine of God, is behaving in the way God has instructed in His Word, so that when those who know very little about God and about Christ and about the Bible, they look at our behavior, they say, you know, that person is a Christian. There's something about this God stuff that I need to know more about. There's something about this Bible that gives this person something that I need to know about. You see, when we act the way that we should, confessing our faith in God, it makes other people want to know more about God. It makes other people honor God with their speech. But when we do not behave the way that we should, people blaspheme God. To adorn the teaching of God, we must act the way God would have us to act in His Word. Remember Colossians 4, 6, that our speech is to be seasoned with salt. Remember in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, that men see our good works and do what? These are people who aren't Christians, and they see our good works and they do what? They glorify God because of that. Turn your Bibles with me over to Revelation chapter 2. To adorn the teaching of God, we must honor God. We must abide in its teaching. We must behave properly. And Revelation 2, beginning in verse 14, we must not hold to false religious doctrines. We must hold to the doctrine of God and not to these other doctrines that are in the world. Verse 14, John writing to the church at Pergamum, "But I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of immorality." And then he says in verse 15, "So you also have some who are in the same way, who in the same way hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans." And so these are the pagan doctrines teaching people to commit sexual immorality, perhaps even in their religions. And they're also the denominational Nicolaitans, Gnostic religion, who are teaching denominational doctrines. And notice, we cannot be holding to them. Verse 24, we must hold to the doctrine of God. Verse 24, "But I say to you," here speaking to those who are holding to the doctrine of Jezebel, The rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you." And so we cannot hold on to these other religious doctrines of the world. We must reject them and hold fast to the doctrine of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19, hold fast to Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, to hold fast to the word of life. And when we do this, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, we are partakers of God's divine nature. And being partakers of that nature, we adorn the doctrine of God. Now, what's the result? What's the result? Well, let me ask you this. What's the earthly result of adornment? When we take care of our homes and they're adorned properly, when we take care of our yards, when we take care of our physical bodies, when we take care of our cars and they're clean and we do the things that we do with them, what is the result? Well, they look good and they look honorable. You know, you may have an old car, and I've got three of them, and I'm not the best at keeping up with them. I'm not the best at washing them all the time. But you know, when my car looks clean, although it's, I'd have to stop and figure out how old it is. It's pretty old. It still looks pretty good. You see, we can take care of things, and when we do that, they look good and they look honorable. But you know, when I'm driving around that dirty car, and I'm not giving it a, I've not washed it in a long time, and I've not vacuumed out the inside, or if my grass is getting a little too long, and maybe I skipped edging where the sidewalk is last time, you know, it doesn't really bring the honor that it could. It makes things look good. It makes them look attractive, makes them look appealing. Others want to do the same thing. It makes the person look good, and it makes that which is adorned look good. Just like Arlington, it brings honor to it. Likewise, when we adorn the teaching of God, we make it look good. We make it look good to ourselves and to others. It's attractive. It's appealing. Others want to be the same way. Others want to make the doctrine of God look good and honorable. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew 5. We mentioned this verse just a few minutes ago. But I want to mention it once again. We have an effect upon other people. And I use the word effects with an A. That we have an effect upon the way that they think. And Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, beginning in in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You see, as long as we're this salt, we're adorning the teaching of God. We're giving honor to God. But notice here that once we stop adorning the doctrine of God, the teaching of God, once we stop giving honor to God, what use are we? No use at all. Just to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men in this analogy. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You know, to this day, and it's been some years ago since I was at Arlington Cemetery, it had an effect upon me. You know, I saw the way that the grounds were kept. I saw the rules and that the rules were enforced. I saw many people coming together from different places all throughout the world, and not one person was disrespectful. That day, my hope in our country and in people in general was restored. Because I saw, yes, people can be respectful. They don't have to go out here and act in such rude, crazy, disrespectful ways that you see so many places. The things that the people did there caused glory to be given to those troops who were represented and their families. When we adorn the teaching of God, the doctrine of God, when we honor God, we cause other people to give glory to God. Those who are not Christians even, we cause them to give glory to God. And many times these individuals will be giving, you'll never hear it, you being the Christian. It may be even years later, and someone looks back upon your life and they remember the things that you did. And now maybe 10 or 20 years later, now they're wanting to get their life straightened up and they look back at you and they remember the things that you did and that has such an impact upon them. I know that's true. That's occurred to me. I've looked back and seen the lives of other people. And it may have been 10 years or 15 years later, that life that I disrespected 15 years ago now makes an impact upon me. I know that's true. People glorify God when we adorn the doctrine of God. Remember Daniel, and he was in the lion's den. He was released, and King Darius made a decree that in all his dominion, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. All his dominion will be forever. Glory given to God. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 3. As we have an effect upon people, we get the message out about God and about salvation and about His Son, Jesus Christ. Very much evangelistic as we're living the message of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Here Peter is telling us to sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Now when we do this, we sanctify Christ. We give Him that special place in our hearts. We are honoring Christ. We're honoring God. We're adorning the doctrine of God. And he says, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And so when we live our life in such a way to give honor and glory to God, to adorn His doctrine, to make that teaching look good to what other people want, people ask. People are curious about this life that we live. And therefore, when they ask of this reason of why we believe that, or why we live the way that we live, then we're ready to give that response. Remember Paul. Paul was a walking testimony of God's power and grace, often told about his life story to convert other people. We are the same. Unfortunately, I'm afraid sometimes, out of shame, we hide even our conversion story. Why did I come to Christ? What was the change in my life? And therefore, our light does not shine as bright as it could otherwise. Remember 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. The power of one in their life can win someone to Christ without even speaking a word. This is the power of our walk of life. As we adorn the teaching of God, it looks good. Here in verses 1 through 4 is a wife who's married to an unbeliever, and because of her chaste behavior, because of the way that she adorned herself, we already read verse 3, that she won her husband over to Christ without even saying a word. This is the power of the testimony of our lives, bringing glory to God. To do this, though, we have to be different. We are different. We can't be like everyone else. We're not like everyone else. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 7. And there is some significance to this. I'll talk about that in just a moment, that we must be very aware of in our lives. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." We must realize, to adorn the doctrine of God, to give honor to God, to be this living testimony, that we are going to be in the vast minority, that we cannot want to be like everyone else. That will be the beginning of our fall. That we have to want to be different, just not different for different sake, but because to live the way God would want us to live will make us different. Different from everyone else. Now look down, verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" We must be different. We're not going to be popular with those who have respect to sin. That's significant. Remember, all of the ungodly will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. We are going to suffer persecution to be different. So it's important for us to help one another, to encourage, to stimulate, to assemble together. We're not going to be in the mire with everyone else. We're not going to be participating in the sinful deeds of man, Ephesians chapter 5, but yet we will be exposing them, verses 7 through 11. Persecution results, ridicule, the brunt of jokes, spoken evil of. And we must make our decision. And this decision must be renewed every day, because the temptation is great. The temptation is great to give in and to be like everyone else and to act like everyone else. And Paul says, "I die daily, confirming his will and his desire to adorn the doctrine of God one more day." And I wonder if that is our commitment. I wonder if we want to be different. You have to be different to make a difference. We can't be like everyone else. So then, we must be patient. Because we are living in a wicked and a sinful world, students, there's going to be people around you who are going to cheat, and they're going to get a better grade. They got that better grade because they cheated. And we must be patient, not try to be like them. When we're driving, there are going to be those who are breaking the laws and causing wrecks and causing bodily injury. They're breaking the rules, and there's going to be the temptation for us just to break the rules too. Sometimes they may even cause us great personal injury. Yet we must be patient. There are going to be people who are impatient with us for doing the right thing rather than cheating and breaking the rules just like them. But we have to be patient. and long-suffering and meek, strong, gentle. We have to be different. If we're not different from the world, we're not adorning the doctrine of God, because that doctrine calls us to be different. We adorn the doctrine of God by honoring Him, His Word, His teaching, abiding in that teaching, behaving properly, not holding fast to other religious doctrines, but to God's doctrine. As a result, God is glorified. As a result, some will be saved. Are you adorning the doctrine of God? It's easy to do it here. Are you adorning the doctrine of God at school, at work, in your communities, bringing honor and glory to it and to God? Think about these things, if you would. We're going to extend the gospel invitation. Get your songbooks out, if you would, please, and let's turn to number 343. 343. Let him have his way with thee. And although Thomas and I did not coordinate, I thought about this song. I think it's a very good song. Because if we are truly willing to let God have His way with us, that we take His word and we pattern ourselves after it explicitly, not holding back one thing, we are going to be the person we've talked about today. We are going to be adorn the teaching, the doctrine of God. We are going to bring honor to God. We are going to be this different person. Some will want to know the reason of the hope that lies within us, and we'll be blessed with an opportunity to explain it. If you're not adorning the doctrine of God because you're not a Christian today, we ask you to think about becoming a Christian, believing in God, in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, turning from the wrong to do the right, willing to confess this morning that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Or maybe you are a Christian and maybe you're not adorning the doctrine of God as you should be. If it's a private, personal matter, you can handle it. Even as you stand up in just one moment, maybe you already have. Maybe you've already prayed about it as you've sat in the pew this morning. But if it's a matter we can help you with, especially to pray with you this morning, won't you let us know that? If we can help you in any way, won't you come to the front as we stand and sing.